Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
I just want to ask you a question. Have you ever had a bad day? Did you ever have a bad week? Did you ever have a bad year? I had a bad year. Did you ever feel like, you know, you've been pressed, but then you realized you weren't crushed? Did you ever feel like you were persecuted, but yet you weren't abandoned? Did you ever feel like you were pressed down, but, you know, you weren't destroyed? And, you know, it's always, when I look back over time, no matter what type of struggles we go through, no matter what type of things we have to overcome, it's always the people that God puts around you that allows you to be able to rise up. And so I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for this place. Grateful for your pastors and for Mick. I don't really know what you're considered, Mick. Nice t-shirt. But I do want to say this. I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for this place. I'm grateful that I can look like Elijah would have looked if it was written yet, but in the book of Luke, in chapter 1, verse 37, it says, faith does not make things easy, but it makes it possible. Amen. Your faith makes things possible. Maurizio, your faith makes things possible. Phil, your faith makes things possible. It allows us to be able to be certain about something. We have no idea where it's going to come from. We don't know how it's going to formulate. All we know is that we're going to get dressed and we're going to get ready for it. You know, I don't know about you, but when you get up in the morning, you know, you start getting dressed. There's different ways we get up in the morning. You know, sometimes we get up and we just splash water on our face, you know, and then we're ready to head out. Sometimes we get up and we know what the day holds, so we want to know, make sure we look a certain way. So I need some help real quick. Rich, come on up here. Andrew, where's Andrew? Andrew, come on up here. And Pastor Phil, come on up here. I just need you real quick. Just come right here. All right, clap for Pastor Flex if you don't know. He's your very own steroid-free pastor. And so this is what we're going to do. Andrew, I just want to tell you, the reason why I asked you to come is because I'm jealous. The reason why I'm jealous, it looks like you have a small animal on your head. But I say that, you know, in this way because, like, I have nothing. Nothing. And so I'm just jealous, and it's very nice. I look and see every once in a while. I wonder if it's going to move. You know what I mean? It doesn't move. Okay. So here's the deal. Don't touch it. That's free. Oh, you know what? I need your help with something. My daughter, the whole way here, there were some people on the plane that were very gracious that helped my daughter understand that wherever she needs to go, she needs to be careful for the drop bears. So make sure you let her know she needs to be careful because she's looking everywhere in case one falls on her head. All right, so here we go. So this is what we're going to do. I imagine when you get ready in the morning, you get ready for the type of day that you're going to have. I got dressed up today, you know. I believe this. You got to paint the barn. And even if you don't feel good, you got to look good. You know what I'm saying? I'm 47 years old. You know what I'm saying? I look good, don't I, for 47? So here's the deal. I get ready. And you know what? It says a lot about yourself, the way you're going to put yourself together. So you can get together normal, or you can get together with style. So I was thinking, there's different ways people get together. Pastor Phil, take one step forward. Look in the mirror right in front of you, and with this song playing, get yourself ready. Go ahead, Pastor Phil, get ready. Go ahead, just brush your hair, brush your teeth. Do what you normally do, thinking of your beautiful wife and what you're going to do today at church. Okay, that was lame, like I expected. Take a step back. Andrew, take a step forward. When I think of you, I kind of think a little more kind of like this, a little bit. Like, when you get ready, it's a little more like... Go ahead, Andrew. Get ready for everybody. That's it. A little more gel. That's it. Now give him the look. Give him the Zoolander. Go ahead. Now Rich, take a step up here. Just step up here. Yeah, That's a gift. Okay, Rich, I just want you to do me a favor. Just kind of lean back like this before you look in the mirror. Put your hands out. Put your hands out like this. Are you ready? Yeah. This is for you. Just look up at the ceiling. You ready? Go ahead, buddy. Get ready. Go ahead. Everybody clap for them. Grab a seat. Rich, you did a good job. Oh, that was unique, Pastor Phil. And hey, listen, I never want to make fun of your pastors. but I do. And so here's the deal. So I'm here to spend this week, and I always like to have fun. And I want to remind you of this. I came this week expecting. Expectation is something that you can sow into yourself. It tells you, it's a reminder of yourself that the bottom line for you is that, you know what, it doesn't matter what it looks like or what it feels like, there's something inside of you that says, you know what, something's about to happen that's going to change something, someone, or someplace. And that's becoming intentional. You see, what I've learned about the Word of God is this. Either the Word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Word of God. And you've got to be able to take the Word of God and put it inside of you and realize that there's something about it that's alive. It's not something that's dead. It's not something that was written 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 years ago that was for something else or someone else. It's alive and ready and available to you today. It's all how you look at it, and life is all about perspective. Whether if you realize it or not, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond to it, because it's all about attitude. Life is either an ordeal or an adventure. It's your choice. And we can always choose what we're going to look at. We always choose on how things are going to appear. We can always choose on what's going to wind up being our purpose. I spoke to the men yesterday, and I talked to them about the idea of choosing destiny or distraction. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get thrown off base. But you know why great people are great? It's because they choose destiny. And I believe Compass Church has chosen destiny. They've chosen destiny. I mean, you were mobile for a decade because you wanted to do this and do it right. You know why? Because this wasn't the end result. This was the beginning of the next phase of what God has laid out before your leaders and before yourselves. And that's something that should make you excited about today. Now, I'm American, so you should talk to me. I know you think that all Americans are rude and arrogant, and that's okay. I'm good with that because I'm from the city of brotherly love, home to the 2017 Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. That's right, and we're going back again next year. I feel really good about it. I'm very proud. I was also proud to hear this. I shared it with the men. A quote from Eli Manning, the quarterback from the New York Giants. He said this. He said, "There's something different about Philadelphia, where I'm from. In Philadelphia, it takes a little time to get used to people when their 9-year-olds will curse at you and talk about your mom." And when I heard that, I had a warm spot inside my heart because, you know, there's something about being passionate. And I want to tell you something. I'm excited to be in a place where people are passionate, Rich. You see, we're not just passionate with how we feel. It's how we act and how we react to things. You see, we realize the Word of God is real clear. It says that, you know, that He is our Alpha and our Omega, our first and our last. Do you know what? Is He your go-to today? And is He the first person you go to and the last person that you talk to? Is He your ultimate resource and a point of reflect? Or is it only something we choose to do when we're in trouble? You see, what I've learned is this. For success, attitude is equally as important as ability. And the way we go about things in our effort is just as important as the way we go about it inside of our hearts. Today, I want to talk to you because we have to make a choice because I don't know about you. I've gotten caught up and I've struggled with this a little bit, and I'm sure everybody has. Lots of times, you know, we serve our stuff rather than serving our God. We serve the blessings rather than the God of the blessings. And you know what? I want to remind you something. There's nothing wrong with loving your stuff. There's nothing wrong. I know you don't hear this very much. There's nothing wrong with loving your stuff. There's nothing wrong with loving what you've been blessed with. There's nothing wrong with loving your house. There's nothing wrong with loving your car. There's nothing wrong with you loving your money. The problem is when you have to love more money and you have to love more stuff and you have to have more things and you think that more is better rather than just what God has given you. And I want to ask you a question today. What are you doing with what God has given you? Because, you know, not everybody's the same. Last year, I came here, and I did schools for a week, and when I got done, I went to Fiji, and I thought I was going to go there, and I was going to wind up giving a blessing. going to different villages and speaking in schools, talking to different people, talking to organizations and people that worked in factories. And I went with this whole idea that I was going to be able to go and do my thing, and I was going to go there. But you know what? God is always able to remind you of what he's called you to do. And it's great, and I love it when God gives you reminders that, you know what? It's amazing how sometimes the people that you go to serve wind up serving you if you're just willing to open your heart. It's easy. I'm the preacher today. You're the one sitting there. So I'm supposed to be here and give you words that are going to bless you. But last year when I was here, it was you that blessed me. I went to Fiji and I went to different schools, and it was amazing. As I got there, you know, the people that I stayed with, I stayed in like a lean-to. And when I stayed there, the people would go fishing during the day, and they would get some crabs, and they would put together a table, and they'd put a crab full of meat, a shell full of meat, and they'd sit there, and they want to watch me eat it. And I'm Italian, Rizzio. You know, we eat together. People got to sit together. So I would take the shell and put it on the floor, and everybody would eat together. We went to schools, and as I was going up to the schools, as I was going to serve them, and I would hear the children singing to me. And I wound up being more blessed. And there was more coming towards me than I felt that was giving out. When I would walk up the hill to some of the schools, or we would pull up in the truck, I would see something like this. Why don't you show them this on the screen? And when I would go into different places, it's kind of amazing, is that I would go into schools and I would go and I would talk to people, and I had this whole idea. It didn't work out the way I thought. I wound up staying at a place I was able to charge my cell phone for 2 hours a day because that's the only amount of time we have power. There was no hot water, so those showers were short and cold. And I'm sitting in the midst of what I'm not used to, and I got more than I ever thought I could get. And sometimes we look at people that have, like haves and have nots, people who have things and have stuff, and we think that they've got it together. But then I was with a bunch of people that maybe you and I would say, you know what, don't have as much stuff as we have. They don't look the same, maybe as we look, have the same type of places that we have. And the part that's crazy is that I remember being there, and as I was there and as I was sitting with people and going into different villages and talking to different people, as I went into different schools and began to share a message of hope and love and care, you know what? The people where I was at in the villages of Fiji, they're going through the same problems that we're going through. Their kids are going through the same type of the way they treat each other as we do. People going through the same type of pain that we do, because I've learned that tears are the same no matter what part of the world that we're in. And so today I learned something. I learned that we all have a condition, every single one of us, if we're willing to look in the mirror. I mean, you saw those guys getting ready this morning, and some of us get ourselves together differently than others. Some of us do our hair, some of us don't have hair, you know, and some of us come, and it takes a while to get that whole thing in the factory going, Andrew, and then some of us just walk out the door. We ain't got to do nothing just because we look so pretty, but everybody's different. And let me hit you with this verse in my scripture for today. It says this. It says, and it happened, it's in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, it says, and it happened that on one of these days he was teaching. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were there. And then people from every village in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, they were all there because the power of the Lord was there to heal the sick. And it says, and behold, a man carried a man on a stretcher who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in a place and bring him before Jesus. And when they could not find a way in, they brought him around the crowd, they went up on the roof, and they let him down through the tiles on the stretcher right in front of Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, Jesus, he said this to them, your sins are forgiven. And all the Pharisees and the religious people said, who is this person that speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins except for God alone? But it said this, it says, Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he says, which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to get up or walk? And it says this in the Message version of the Bible. It says, so that you know I'm the Son of Man, I have the authority to do either. I am about to do both. And he reached his hand out. The man stood up immediately. He took what he had been lying on, and he went home praising God all the way. Father, we just ask to add a blessing to the reading of your word. You see, we all have different layers of stuff. And it says this in Luke chapter 5, that's what I just read. It says this in Matthew. It says, do not cast your pearls before swine. Do not waste good things on people who do not appreciate them. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs if you do not want them to be trampled under their feet and then tear you into pieces. You know what? We all have something good to offer this world. There's something on the inside of us. If we're willing to have the tenacity and the effort to look on the inside of us and say, you know what? I have something, a God-given ability, a God-given gift, my ministry, my calling, and you know what? It needs to be unwrapped so that we can offer it and give it to the world. That's what's awesome about Compass. Is that the entire time that I've known this ministry and I've been connected to your pastor and the people here, they've constantly been unwrapping and open to what God has. And when I say they, I mean you. You've been willing to open up what God has given you and say, you know what? I don't want to waste what I've gotten. I want to do something with it. And when I was in Fiji last year, I was with people that had, the people that I spent time with, they didn't have much stuff. But you know what they had? They had each other. And you know what? Do you ever hang around people and say, you know what? I like to be their friend. I was hanging around people in a different type of culture than I was used to, having different types of stuff that I'm used to, eating different type of foods that I'm used to. And you know what? I said to myself, you know what? They have something that is just so attractive because they had family and they had community and they had each other. And it didn't matter if the water was hot or the water was cold, they had each other. It didn't matter if the electricity was on or off, they had each other. It didn't matter what the school looked like. It didn't matter, hey, you could only go to school for certain hours because you can only do it when the light was out because there's no electric there. But you know what? They had each other. And you know what's awesome is the calling that God has placed upon this church and its leadership and you is, you know what? It doesn't matter what you have. You know what? It isn't about what you see. It's about what you believe. And that's what's exciting today, is because it's about what you believe today. You see, what I've learned is this, is that we change the world by our example, not by our opinions. If you're watching the news to be able to get your information, I'm here to tell you to change the channel. I'm here to tell you that if you're looking to take your cues from God, from somebody else, thinking that God can't speak to you, I'm here to tell you something. You need to tune into the right channel. Do you hear what I'm talking about? Do you ever drive around trying to listen to the radio and it doesn't come in right, so what do? You adjust the station? If you can't hear clearly, maybe you need to go to your leadership and say, you know what, I need help adjusting my station because I can't hear anything right. You know, it's all about hearing God. It's all about getting a picture because God does not use problem seers. He uses problem solvers. And you know what? I'm glad that you guys want to solve problems here at Compass Church. I'm glad you're able to look in your community and in your schools and realize that, you know what, there's something about you that God has given you, that you have something to offer. This scripture that I read was about this guy, and he was paralyzed. And I just want to tell the story the way that I see it. You know, we look at things different ways. Have you ever watched a movie and then imagined, like, you're the person in the movie? You know you've done that, right? Rich, you know you've done that, Wesley Snipes. And we do that. We imagine ourselves. We think we're that person. You know, Phil thinks he's the Wolverine. The short version, you know what I mean? And Thor, you're not Thor. Ain't nothing about you. Like, Thor? Why would you even say Thor? You know how many jokes you just opened up for me? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm not even going to say anything. He's got issues. Your pastor got issues. And we imagine that we're those people. And we think that we can have that power or do those things. And it's easy to imagine. But this guy, I kind of imagined it like this. This guy, he's paralyzed. He's crippled. He's laying on the ground. And he hears that down the street that Jesus is doing something. You know, here's the thing that makes us unique followers and passionate followers of God is that there's something on the inside of us that says, you know what, God is doing something here or doing something there, and it's that desire on the inside to say, you know what, if I can get there, everything could change. And this guy who was paralyzed was there, and he said, you know what? This guy Jesus is down there. He's healing people. He's walking around, and people that are blind, all of a sudden, bam, touches them, and all of a sudden, they can see. People that are old, bam, all of a sudden they're young. You know what I'm saying? He walks up to people and all the people that were bald, bam, all of a sudden they got hair. You know, and here's the deal. Rich, you can get your dreads back, bro. Hey, listen, if you buy your hair, it's still good. It's still yours. You pay for it. You know what I'm saying? And so here's the deal. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. That was pretty funny, Rich. I like that. So listen, this guy's there. Now follow me on this because I'm not going to be long. He's there and he's laying on the ground. He said, you know what? If I could just get down the street to where Jesus is at, he's doing something. And you know what? Maybe I can get some of what he's given out. Maybe there's something there that could happen. You know what? When we go into schools, when we'll be there this week, we're offering something. We're not dope dealers. We're hope dealers. You know, we're bringing stuff into schools. We're bringing hope. We're bringing opportunity to every student we walk up to realize that they don't have to be one of the 8,000 kids every day that cut themselves on the outside because they're hurting so bad on the inside. I mean, they don't have to be one of the kids like in America that every day 5,000 kids consider giving up on the gift of life. You know why? Because of the way someone talks to them or treats them, whether if it's electronically or socially, or the way we talk to each other in school, out of school. And we go in there and we offer the opportunity for hope. Because it's not just things on the outside that cripple us, it's things on the inside. We've all been crippled by somebody's words, right? We've all been torn down by somebody else's behavior. We've all been disappointed because people have let us down, sometimes the people that were supposed to take care of us. And we've all had the opportunity to be able to experience disappointment and letdown. We've all had the opportunity to be pressed and crushed and struck down. It's what you decide to do once you're there that shows the rest of the world, your world, who you really are. It's all how we look at it. And this guy's there and he's in this condition and he can't get anywhere on his own. If you go to the other versions of the story in the other synoptic gospels, if you go to Mark or if you go to John and you go there and you look how they tell the story, they say there were four men. And I picture a guy who's paralyzed, who's laying on a mat, and there's four guys that came up and each grabbed a corner and he said, listen, he was in a condition. He couldn't get where he needed to go without some help. The places we go this week, whether if it's here in Melbourne or when we get to Indonesia, do you know what? The people we bump into can't get where they need to go without some help. And can I tell you something? If I'm going and you're sending me, you're going too. And you know what? We're bringing help to people to get places they can't get on their own. Can I get some help up in here? Do you realize the role that you play? Do you realize it's not just about what's happening in the sanctuary on a Sunday morning? There's people that are in a condition that are dependent upon someone else to show up and realize their role in this world. And our role in this world is so much more important than just what we have, what we need to get, and where we need to go. You see, today I want you to realize, and I said it once, let me say it again, we change our world by our example, not by our opinion. You see, everybody needs to get a vision and a purpose for their life. Your church has a purpose for where it's headed. He brought you here for a purpose. And I want to tell you something. If your faith has not changed you, then ask if it saved you. Because our faith, can we encounter personal faith, it should change us. Yeah. Yeah. It should cause us to look outside of ourselves and outside of what we have and what we don't have and begin to see things different. This paralyzed man, you know what? When I think about him, I'm thinking about what commitment does it take to try to round up four brothers to drag me down the street so I can meet Jesus? What type of persistency does it take? What type of focus does it take? People who accomplish things in life, they're persistent. Now, I got three kids. When they want something, they're persistent. You all know what I'm talking about, right? How many parents are here when you heard things like dad, 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 dad? You're like, for the love of God, shut up. You know what I mean, right? We've all done that, right? Because they want something. So when they want something, they're persistent. You know what I've learned something in life is that when you want something and you believe something, you're going to keep doing it until you get it done. I said yesterday to the men, you know, I just like anybody else, I've failed. I've been disappointed. I've hurt. I've cried tears. We've all been through tragedy and loss. We've all been through guilt, and we've been through shame, and we've been through situations. But you know what? At the end of my life, I told the men yesterday when we met, the one word that I want on my tombstone is the word resilient. Because a righteous man might fall down 7 times, but he gets up 8. And we got to keep getting up, and we got to keep going, and we got to keep doing. As I was looking through today's message, and I was deciding what I was going to speak on, I looked inside the scripture, I looked inside the Bible, and I realized that on every page there's a story. But also in every story there's a page. And I learned about a young girl who doesn't live that far from me at home, and she has cerebral palsy. I bump into a lot of kids. I was just at the Special Olympics with my son, who just competed and got 2 gold medals. He has autism, and he was able to compete and be able to do that. And you can go on my Instagram. He'll tell you that he's a legend. And he's a little humility, too, like Pastor Phil. And so here's the deal. Here's the deal. This little girl, she kind of had everything against her. It was kind of like, you know, things were kind of like falling apart. And she has to make a choice every single day whether if that disease is going to do her or if she's going to do a disease. I ran across the video that her mother and her put together so she could motivate herself so that when no one else sees it and she doesn't feel it, and when she looks in the mirror, things don't feel that way or don't look that way, she has the faith to realize that she can still do it. Watch this. I'll be right back. It's amazing what you can learn from a little child. If you ever want to be reminded how beautiful life is, spend a day with a 4-year-old. Changes your perspective, right? You look at a little girl like Paige, and you're reminded that everybody has a story. It's what you decide to do with your story that absolutely changes everything. You know, Winston Churchill said, when you're going through hell, keep walking. I don't know about you, but, you know, have you ever been driving and all of a sudden the rain was so bad you can barely see? But if you just keep driving, it'll eventually end. And sometimes you just got to hold on and keep moving. Sometimes you just got to keep going. You know, for those of you here that don't know my story, a 2-minute summary, I grew up and my passion for going to schools and speaking about the way we treated each other has everything to do with the way that I was treated. When I went to school, I was the only special needs student in my school. And because of that, and when I grew up, because I'm a little bit older, they didn't have special schools for kids like me. So they would send a bus to my school, and it would go out front. Every day at 11 o'clock, the bell would ring. And I would go out front to learn for a majority of my classes and then come back into school. When I would go out to that bus, the kids used to call it the dumb bus. And so a lot of the kids in my life, and even some of the adults, try to define me by what I couldn't do, where I couldn't go, and what I would never be. I mean, I even had someone this past year, we were in Clayton Schools, Pastor Phil was over, and one of the teachers there went to school with me. She was a year older than me. And she walked up to me and she said my name and she goes, "Who would have thought it?" And I walked away that day, and I remember going in the bathroom because, you know those older kids that you look up to in school, you know, their words mean a lot to you. But it wasn't what she said. I remember walking back in the bathroom, and I remember looking in the mirror, kind of like the guys did today, with no music. And I just said this, "God thought it." Because there's a story on every page. And there's a page in every story. But you got to be willing to fight. When you don't feel it, when you don't see it, that's what faith is. It's believing it's possible, even though none of the pieces of the puzzle are there. It's like getting a puzzle and not having the box top because you don't know what it looks like. But God says, you know what, I'm going to guide the hands and I'm going to take all your broken pieces and your shattered lives and your disappointments and your broken hearts, and I'm going to gather it all up. And at the end, when I get done helping you, it's going to be a beautiful masterpiece. And God's forming these stories and these masterpieces, and he's helping you pick the colors, and your church and Compass Community Care are forming all these different colors and words, and all these beautiful stories are getting written. At the end of that video, I went the most beautiful part of that, and as a dad, you know, I'm bawling when I first saw the video, because I saw her walking up that hill, and her 3 friends were helping her push that walker because she couldn't do it by herself. But there were people that came around her that said, you know what, you might not be able to do it, but you're not alone. And maybe you people don't want to be my friends, but I got friends. And she's learned the key to the word perspective. She's learned how to see what other people can't see. And so today, I just want to ask you a simple question. When I grew up, I would walk out to that RV and I would learn. And I would hear words that were disappointing. And I grew up in a home that was broken. My parents met when they were young. Part of the reasons why I do healthy relationships, school assemblies, because two people who don't know who they are can't make a relationship that knows what it is. I've learned that in a devastating way. And gotta collect myself, sorry. My parents got together, didn't know who each other were, so the relationship didn't know what it was. They were together and they were apart. I moved in and out of my parents' house to my grandparents' house. Italian-Americans, when we move somewhere, we buy the whole block and the whole family lives there. And so I never had to move far, but I kept moving out to next door to my grandparents, back to my house, to my grandparents, back to my house. My mom had a terrible disease called multiple sclerosis, and the medicine that she took caused her to lose her mind. So as a kid at 5 years old, I learned how to hide when she would have her breakdowns and she would have her tantrums. And then I go to school and I go to church, all because somebody at a local church decided to take time and they realized that their story included other people other than themselves. They realized that their story included other colors and other people from different places. And they decided to include me in on their picture. And they would pick me up and bring me to VBS, Vacation Bible School, and they'd bring me to Royal Rangers, and they'd bring me to youth group. And they made sure I had a way to get there, kind of like the paralyzed guy. And you know what? They were able to do work. This guy, he was paralyzed. He needed people to help get him past his condition. And it says when they got towards the house where Jesus was at, there was a huge crowd. He didn't just have friends. He had good friends. He had Compass Church friends. People who saw, you know what, it's not just about who we are and where we're at. It's about what's around us and what's extended from us. Because the idea of making an impact on the world is really that you've got to be able to impact the world and let that world impact you. And this guy, his friends, they not only got him to where Jesus was at, when they saw there was a line, they went around the line. You need the type of friends. You know what? You're the type of friends that help people get around that. Last year when I was here, I went through some personal tragedy that was heartbreaking. And your pastors and people at your church, while I was here, supported me and walked through that with me. And a lot of people, you know, a couple people just said, you know, Preston, why don't you just go home and take care of what you got to take care of. And I didn't know Paige yet, but something on the inside of me said, you know what, nope. I might be falling down a seventh time, but I'm going to get up eight. And I'm going to finish what I started because he who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it. And if he's going to do his part, I'm going to do my part. If he's going to do his part on the cross, I'm going to do my part on the ground. And he's called me and you to do something and to be a part of something so much bigger than just the seat you're sitting in on Sunday morning. It's more than building a room, painting a wall, putting up a projector, more than just singing songs. It's more than just the things we do. This thing we do, it's not a service on Sunday. It's a lifestyle that we live. And it's an expansion of who we are. And we're defined by it. And we get to walk in it. And you know what? When you're challenged by it, you will grow by it. And so this morning, I'll tell you, these people, they got this guy past his condition. They got him to this crowd. They went around the crowd. It says they climbed up on the roof. They chopped a hole in the roof. And they're like, you want to see Jesus? We dropping you in. Can you imagine me preaching all of a sudden, a brother fall right here. Four people stick their head in. They're like, Leroy, y'all right down there? They did whatever they needed to do to get him to where he wanted to go, because he couldn't do it on his own. He was in need of a help, just like we were in need of a Savior. And Romans says that he demonstrated his love, that while we were still yet sinners, he sent his son to die for us. When I was growing up, my condition was like this, guys. I wasn't paralyzed on the outside, I was paralyzed on the inside. I'll never forget one night I was home and I was hiding from my mom, who would have tantrums and bang on the walls and bang on the floor and have these breakdowns. And this is just to get those of you that don't know me caught up real quick. I used to hide in my clothing closet on a shoe rack and hide from my mom at night. I learned how to do it from 5 years old. It's a scary thing when you learn as a toddler how to be afraid. And if you let it, it'll define you. And I remember hiding, and with my disabilities, and I say this in every school I go to, I remember sitting on the shoe rack. When I get scared or overwhelmed, I rock. I still do it now as an adult. Pastor Phil's caught me several times when I'm tired. I remember hearing my mom screaming and yelling, and I was just waiting for her to go to bed. It became my normal. Just because it's crazy. And my crazy became all the time, so my crazy became my normal. And so I just expected it. I remember she was screaming, and I thought she went to bed, and so I climbed out and sat on my bed, and she came in, and she yelled at me. I yelled at her. I cursed at her. She cursed at me. Total breakdown. My condition was bad. And she said this to me as I wrap up. She said, I'm going to go down to that church that you go to, and I'm going to tell them what you really like, and then they won't want you anymore either. And I remember crying myself to sleep. I remember wanting to be one of those 5,000 kids that want to give up on the gift of life every day in America. I remember carving the words that I wanted to die in my windowsill with this little penknife. I figure the kids tell me how dumb I am. They make fun of the way that I look and the way that I walk. My parents keep breaking apart, getting together. I seem like I'm in everybody's way. Maybe the world would just be a better place. And I remember sitting there, and my mom said that to me, and she left, and I cried myself to sleep. I woke up the next morning, and I never forget, I got to church the next time. And my church was a lot like Compass. They made room for people other than themselves. Some of you here with your families, there's people here like me that didn't have a family to go with. And I would come in, and there'd be the cool guy at the front door, like Paul, giving high fives. And he'd say, Preston, I'm glad you're here. Wouldn't be the same without you. There'd be the families that would be there together. You know, my church every year, about 4 or 5 times a year, you know what they used to do? They used to do these covered dishes where everybody bring food from their culture. And they would share it together. Then the families would sit together. And my pastor and his wife, and there was a couple other families in the church that used to set a seat extra always in case I decided to sit with them. Do you know what that meant for a kid like me in a place like this? It meant 4 times a year, for an hour each time, I got to be a son. Yeah. 4 times a year, for about an hour, I had brothers and sisters, different colors from different places. They would say things like, we're glad to have you. Or my favorite thing, eat more. And I belonged. Because if a group of people like you realized that there was a group of people like me in need of a Savior, in need of love, in need of hope. And that's why I go do what I do. To introduce the people who have an empty seat to the people who don't have a seat. Because everybody deserves to sit at the table. Everybody deserves to be loved and cared about and appreciated and included. And this week in Melbourne, we're going to include some kids and some families and some moms and some dads, and we're going to get together. And I get letters from people. In fact, I got this, Phil, hand me my phone out of there. I got a letter from one of these teachers at one of the schools, and she said this. I was in Wallen last year, and she found out that I was coming back, and so she sent me this, this letter, and she said, Preston, it's been... this is what she sent me after I got home last year. She said, Preston, it's been more than a month since you were at Wallen Secondary, and boy, we were blessed by your visit and your story. There's continued ongoing conversations that I still have with students that said that their futures and lives were changed because of your words. And what you said was uplifting and heartwarming. And as being the well-being coordinator here, I want to let you know I've never seen such an impact. I'm often asked if you will be back, and my reply is, that's the plan. And I look forward to you coming back in 2018. Thank you for your contribution to our students. That was not a letter to me. That was a letter to you. I'm just part of this thing. I'm just a guy who's broken, who decided to be used broken. And I told the men yesterday that I never wanted this job because I knew God wasn't done transforming me yet. And I want to let you know that God will use you while he's transforming you. And I'm still on my journey, and I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to be a dad to teenagers. I'm still learning how to be a better speaker and a better pastor to those that I bump into. I'm still learning how to be a better friend. I'm still learning how to do what God's calling me to do. But you know what? I can't always feel it and I can't always see it, but I am always willing to do it. And what we've done so far is just the start. There's a story on every page in that book we read. And there's a page on every story that we saw the video about. But like this guy who's paralyzed, for him to get to Jesus, because of his condition, he could not get there on his own. He needed some friends. And so today, as you consider your personal place in this world and in your faith, and as you're sorting things out, as a member of the church, and you're considering what you're going to do with your stuff and what God has blessed you with, I want to challenge you to bless others. Because that guy said, if I could only get in that room with Jesus, everything would change. Guess what happened? He had some people, like the people at Compass Church, that were willing to go above, beyond, around, climb up, chop holes in, do whatever they had to do to get him in front of Jesus. They did whatever they had to do. They didn't care what it looked like. They didn't care if it was popular. They didn't care they had a cut line. They didn't care about any of that stuff. All they cared about was this guy needed to get in front of Jesus, and he had no way he could do it on his own. But he had enough tenacity and resilience to say, you know what? There might be some stuff that doesn't work, but you know what does work? My mouth. You know what does work? My heart. You know what does work? My mind. And if you guys can just do what you can do and carry, I can ask. And he got in front of Jesus. And you know what's crazy? As soon as he dropped in front of Jesus, the religious people were like, oh no, what's this guy doing cutting in line? And all of a sudden, Jesus walked up and he goes, you're forgiven. But just so you know, I'm the Son of Man and I can forgive or heal. I'm about to show off and do both. Today, this morning, let God show off and do everything he can do for your life and for your growth and for your family and for your circumstance and for your individuality and for you as a person. It doesn't matter how you feel you were made or not made. It doesn't matter how you feel you look or don't look. It matters what's on the inside of you. And when you look in the mirror, like I did that day at that school, and that girl said, who would have thought? God thought. God thought you would be here on a Sunday morning. God thought that you would be sitting here with your family. God thought that he put you here to get with people or alone. But either way, you're in the house of God, and you're not doing this thing alone. You're not doing life alone. You weren't meant to be alone. And at Compass, you'll never be alone. Because God made you a part of a family that's so much bigger than just you as an individual. There's always a seat for you here. Listen, you made a seat for me and my family. A seat that I never thought I would ever need. But life happens. And everybody hurts. But not everybody quits. You heard today how my life started. That's not how it's going to end. No matter how many times I get hit, no matter how many times I get knocked down, doesn't matter how many disappointments, broken hearts, lonely moments, none of that stuff matters. I'm going to keep driving until it stops raining. I'm going to keep walking till hell isn't around me anymore. I'm going to keep moving. And even if everybody else says no, all that matters is his yes. So maybe you're here today. Before Pastor Phil comes, maybe you feel alone. Your faith has been challenged, and you can't see how it could possibly work out. I want to tell you that God will put everybody that you need around you to get you the place that you got to go so that he can do what he already wanted to do. You just need to get yourself in a room with the game changer of game changers, the history maker of history makers, and allow him to do for you what he's done for others. The songwriter says, millions have come, but there's still room for one. So today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just a minute of privacy for you as an individual, between you and me. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're like this, the guy who is paralyzed. and you say, you know what, I've tried to do life alone, and I'm failing miserably. Listen, as a believer, I try to do life alone, and I failed miserably. And then God put some people from Compass around me and helped me get to places that I couldn't have got on my own. There's a story on every page, and there's a page in every story. And maybe this morning, your name's there. And you say, I got a story too. Yep. And by the word of your testimony, by the words of your story, and by the blood of the Lamb, that's how you overcome. He overcame death in the grave so that you would realize that you're in need of a sinner, a Savior, because we're all sinners. And we've all fallen short. And if you're here today and you've never given Jesus a chance, the Bible says today's the day of salvation. So if you're in this room and I'm telling you about this Savior and you don't know who He is, I simply want to say a prayer with you today to let you realize that Jesus says in Revelations that He stands at the door of your heart and He knocks. And your door doesn't have to be a pretty door or a nice door. It could be like my door, my heart, lonely, abandoned, brokenhearted, full of shame. And Jesus knocks on it and He says, I'm ready to come into your mess. All you've got to do is open up your mess so I can come in. You don't need to straighten yourself out. You don't need to stop doing stuff. You don't need to get your life together and then come to God. God sent His Son to come into your mess so that you can be saved and set free from your sin and from your things that have held you down so you can be free. So if you're here today and you've never given Jesus a chance and you'd like to do that, I'm just going to count to three. And when I do, would you just raise your hand and then put it back down for me so I can pray with you? One, two, three. Anybody here? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Three people. Anyone else? You can put your hand down. Second here, you're here today and say, you know what, I do know who Jesus is. I'm a come to church person. I'm involved. I'm plugged in. But you know what, I so often feel alone because I feel alone because I don't let people in. I don't let people in because people have hurt me. I'm afraid if they pick me up in my condition, they're going to drop me. Listen, some people may drop you, but they're going to do their very, very best to make sure you get all the way to Jesus at Compass. And if you felt alone and you feel afraid and people have let you down and family has let you down, I want to tell you, let's give the people of God a chance to come alongside of you. Open up your heart, open up your condition, open up your circumstance, and let them drag you in front of Jesus. Don't do life alone. I told the men yesterday, we are so much better together. So if you're here today and you say, you know what? I hear what you're saying, and I got my story, and I'm tired, and I can't take another step. You don't got to take another step alone. Let someone love you and care about you just the way you are. If that's you, just on three, I'm going to count to three. Just raise your hand. Leave it up, please. One, two, three. Raise your hand if that's you. Put your hands down. Let's all stand together if you can. I want to say a prayer together for those of you that raised your hand to ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. Listen, this is the most important thing you'll ever do in your life. So do me a favor. You might not be used to this, but just grab the hand of the person next to you, even if you don't know them. And repeat these words after me. Say, Dear Jesus, today I confess with my mouth that I'm a sinner, that I've fallen short, that I'm in need of a Savior. And I believe in my heart that You're the Son of God that came to set me free from my sin. So, Father, today I open my door and I let You in. Come into my life. Be my personal Savior and Lord. I want to be born again. In Jesus' name. If you just said that simple prayer, welcome to the family of God. No one's going to love you like the family of God. Let somebody know you've said that prayer. Let somebody know that you want to, that you made that commitment, and let people come along alongside of you. And now let me pray for you. For those of you that raised your hands and your condition is like that man, you're not getting anywhere and you need some help. I'm praying that you have the tenacity and the strength to say, you know what, I'm doing life, but I'm having a hard time doing it alone. Look at me. I'm doing life, and I'm having a hard time doing it alone. Did you hear what I just said? I'm talking to you, me. I'm doing life, but I'm having a hard time doing it alone. Let me do it again. Your guest speaker this morning is saying, I'm doing life, but I'm having a hard time doing it alone. And nobody's meant to do life alone. nobody. Father, I pray right now that you would just anoint every person that's here. And it's your anointing that breaks the bondage of every yoke. I pray for every person that's in this place, Lord God. Whether if they came in here themselves or somebody dragged them in. Anything we have to do to get the people to, in front of Jesus. To get them to hear a message of hope and love and care and compassion. So, Father, I just pray, Lord God, what you've done for so many of us, do it for others. And allow us, Lord God, to be able to hear your voice. Let us keep driving even when we're tired. Let us keep pushing even though, Lord God, we've pushed for so long. I ask that you gather up all the broken pieces of our hearts and our past and our rejections and our loneliness. And I pray that you take all that stuff, all that hurt and that pain, Lord God, and help make it a platform. So somebody here in this room can say, I was once lost, but you know what? My Savior Jesus and the people of Compass, they found me. And they drug me in a room in front of God and his son. And they allowed me to be in his healing presence. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Today, Pastor Phil's going to be coming. And they handed these things out. I can go. I can't do it by myself. On many levels, I can't do it by myself. Mick can go and they can cook food today, but they can't do it by themselves. They can do stuff during the holidays, but they can't do it by themselves. It takes a village to raise a family. And it's not always a kid that needs to be raised up by that village. Sometimes it's just people that fall down and can't move any further. And it's the people like it, the people at Compass that are willing to stop and say, you know what? Let me grab my corner. And let me pull you to where you can't seem to go by yourself. It's people like you that make a place for people like me to have a place to sit. And so for this Sunday, for me, my little girl's here with me. I get to sit for an hour and a half and be a part of my extended family and look at my brothers and my sisters and be reminded how faithful God is and how good he's been and how he'll continue to do it. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to open your heart and add colors to the beautiful masterpiece of somebody else's life. To help add words to somebody else's story. To get behind kids like Paige and like that paralytic man and take people where they can't go on their own. All because Compass is willing to go.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.